And if some other brother would care to take up after, that's grand, that's fine. But what I've been thinking about is to do with the glory that we've been thinking. We've been singing, to God be the glory and glory to Jesus. And I've been thinking about that. You know, yesterday was a lovely day, and I thought I'd do a spot of gardening. And I spent most of the day in the garden, enjoyed it. And what was I doing in the garden? Well, the usual thing at this time of the year, trimming off all the border, the grass borders and so on like that, and digging out as many weeds as possible, and just inspecting all the plants in my garden to make sure that they're all coming on fine, you know. And so there it was. I was looking around the garden and enjoying it and thinking to myself, well, you know, why do I do this? Why do I do this? Digging, weeding, getting my fingers dirty and so on. Well, I do it because I enjoy it. I also do it for this, that eventually it brings delight to me. Personally, I find delight in it. And I'd like to think that as a family, we get delight out of it. And I would like to think also maybe some of my neighbours will get delight out of it as well. And maybe some of my neighbours will say, oh, Houston's garden's looking well this year. And in so doing, they'll be giving me a bit of tribute. They'll be giving me a little bit of glory. Now, I didn't plant it for that reason, but these are all the things that can materialize from that. And you know, when I thought of that, you know, why are we here in this life? Why are we here on planet Earth? Why are these plants in my garden selected by me, positioned by me as I planted them, whether they were small flowers or whether they were shrubs or whether they were a small tree? I planted them there for a purpose. It was to bring delight to me, and in another word, to bring glory to me. What about ourselves? Why are we here on planet Earth? Well, you know, there's an old catechism, which is a Scottish thing, I believe, and it used to be taught in schools, and the question was asked, what is man's chief end, or what is the purpose of man? And here was the answer. Man's chief purpose is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And so that's the reason why we're here, to glorify God. And so tonight we've been thinking of glory to God, glory to Jesus. To God be the glory. That is right. That is our function. That's why we're here, to glorify God. When I was looking around my garden, there's one plant I put in it last year. It's a perennial. It comes up every year. It disappears in the winter, and then it comes up the spring of the year. And this plant is a geranium. It's a pink geranium, and I like it. And as I was looking at it, looking at it, just yesterday, I thought, that really has spread from last year. Then I had a closer look. I thought, oh, wait a minute. There are two different leaves there. There's two different plants. They look alike. You would almost say they were the same. They're not. They're two different plants. And so I investigated, and of course I had to get out my small fork. It wasn't long before I had to get my big fork. This was a weed. It had leaves just like the pink geranium. But it was a weed, a loathsome weed. And not only that, when I got went around the soil round about it, the amount of a root it had spread all over within an area this size. And, you know, it took me quite some time to dig that plant out. In fact, an adjoining plant, I had to lift it all together to get it out, get the roots out of it. And I thought, you know, sadly, there are people in the world tonight, and you look upon them, and you say, oh, these people are good people, and these people are maybe Christians, you know. I'm glad to say this. I'm not the judge of that matter, whether a person is a Christian or no. God, the Bible says, God knows them that are his. And God knows this company here tonight, and God knows them that are his. Anyhow, we're going to think about glorifying God. And my first reading, actually, is in Isaiah 42. You don't need to turn it up unless you want to. Here's what it says. It says, I am the Lord, chapter 42, verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. I'm going to think about one man in particular. I'm going to refer to two men, and one of them I'm going to read to you, just read it. It's found in the Acts of the Apostles. And here's a man who did not give glory to God. And here's what it says in the book of the Acts, chapter 12. It speaks about a man called Herod. And Herod, at that particular time, was enjoying the popularity of the Jewish people. He'd taken one of the disciples, and he had killed him. And he thought that was bringing great pleasure to the Jewish people. And then he took hold of Peter, and he was going to do the same with him. But then God intervened, of course. But then at the end of the chapter, we read this. Upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made a speech unto the people. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a god and not of a man. And immediately an angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms, and he died. A man who gave not God the glory. But I'm going to read in another book, and this time we're going to read in the book of Daniel. And this is a story that I'm sure the folks from Sunday school and Bible class know all about. It's the story of a man called Belshazzar, the king of Babylon. And Belshazzar was sitting in his palace in Babylon when there was an enemy outside the city walls. And the enemy were trying to get in. And the enemy were trying to conquer him. And Belshazzar was so puffed up with pride and so full of confidence, he more or less said, oh, they'll never ever get in to my city, Babylon, because of the walls. The walls are so high and the walls are so thick, they'll never get in. And so he sat there in his palace, and he thought to himself, just to show his contempt for his enemies, and also this, his contempt for God. He said, Let's arrange a party. Let's have a banquet. Let's have a feast. And so he arranged this. And when he had arranged the feast, he said, well, let's drink to the gods of gold and silver. Let's drink out of gold vessels and silver vessels. And we'll fill up the vessels full of wine, and we'll drink to the gods of gold and silver. And he said, go and collect all the gold and silver cups that were brought from the temple in Jerusalem. Bring them, and we'll use these. And we'll drink to the gods of gold and silver. So he held the enemy without in contempt. It was an invading army. And he held God in contempt. And you know, he should have known better, because one of his ancestors, only about a couple of generations before him, he had been filled with pride as well. His name was Nebuchadnezzar, of course. And Nebuchadnezzar had looked upon the great city of Babylon and said, is not this great Babylon that I have builded? And you know, Nebuchadnezzar was struck down by God. Not in death, but struck down by a severe illness. And so this man should have known better. But instead, he arranged this feast. And just as the feast was proceeding, and everybody was getting very merry with all the wine that they were drinking out of the gold and silver vessels that had come out of the temple at Jerusalem, suddenly there appeared a man's hand. Just a hand, not the arm, just a hand. And this hand started to write on the wall. And the people were aghast and amazed, sitting there, and they watched this hand, and with no arm, there was no body, just a hand, and it started to write on the wall, the plaster. And it wrote these words, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. And they couldn't understand it. They couldn't understand it. It was the finger of God. It was the finger of God. And so this poor king, he started to tremble. He started to shake. And you know this, he called in all his wise men and his soothsayers, and he said, look, see that? What's that? Tell me, what does that writing mean? We don't know. What does it mean? We don't know. But maybe if you call Daniel, he might know. And they brought in Daniel. This time Daniel was an old man who had served under Nebuchadnezzar and the next king, and now he was an old man. And Daniel came in. And Daniel said, yes, we can read the writing. Not that I can read it, he said it. God will read to me the writing. And so it was explained to Belshazzar. He said, look, Belshazzar, and here's what it says in Daniel chapter 5. It says, Belshazzar, you knew all these things in the past. And now, Belshazzar, you have not humbled your heart, though thou knewest all this. Verse 22. But you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before you, and your lords and your wives and your concubines have drunk wine from them, and you have praised the gods of silver and gold and brass and iron and wood and stone, which don't see nor hear nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, thou hast not glorified. And this is the writing that was written. This is the interpretation of the right thing. God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. You are weighed in the balances and are found wanting. Your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. God, in whose hand are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Are we here tonight and we realize that God really holds our very breath, and yet we don't give him glory? We don't give him the glory and the honor and the praise which are his due. I wonder. Here was a man who lifted up his heart in pride against God. And you say, oh, but oh, look, wait, I wouldn't go as far as that. No, I wouldn't do that. But yet, even as he was a rebel against God, every person who has not committed themselves to God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is really a rebel against God. And so, as Belshazzar was weighed in the balances and found wanting, then if you're here tonight and don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you're found wanting. You're found lacking. You're lacking. you're lacking the faith that is needed. That faith to put trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your personal salvation. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. What a solemn message that is. We read about Herod. Herod lifted himself up. God smote him. God smote him. And in a measure, we can say the hand of God smote Belshazzar. In that night, the army outside the city walls of Babylon, we're led to believe they dammed up the river, or the part of the river that flowed through the city and provided them with all their water. That night they dammed it up, and so the army was able to march right into the middle of the city on a dry riverbed and take the whole Babylonian army by surprise inside. And King Belshazzar was slain. It was the hand of God. Well, you know, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. If we rebel against God, now we needn't do that. We needn't rebel against God. God has made provision for the rebel. God has made provision for you and me through the death of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was the one who upon the cross could cry out, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." So here was a man, or two men, Herod first of all, and here was Belshazzar, and they glorified not God. I want to talk about the one who did glorify God. And for that reason, I want to read in Romans chapter 17, in John chapter 17. And here we read of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what he says. He's in prayer. He's in prayer to his Father God. Verse 4, John chapter 17, verse 4. He said, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Here was one who glorified God in all of his being. He loved God with all his heart, with all his soul, and all his mind. And he loved his neighbor as himself. So he fulfilled the royal law of God. You know, I don't know whether he was thinking about a verse in Jeremiah when he spoke these words in prayer, because in Jeremiah we have these words, if I can find them. Here we are. Jeremiah chapter 9, we have, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. And I am the Lord who exerciseth loving kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Didn't the Lord Jesus just do that? He was full of kindness, loving kindness, justice, and righteousness. God says, "In these things I delight." And so the Lord Jesus Christ brought delight to his Father God. He glorified him. That's all I've got to say, really, but basically this: how do we glorify God? First of all, we've got to come to know him as God, Father. We've got to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We've got to put faith and trust in the work that the Lord has done at Calvary. Have you ever done that? Are you a real Christian? Have you been born again? Has Jesus ever entered into your heart to reign? Only you know the answer to that. Between you and God, may you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.